guys something. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic.
It's
then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Mashed potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Stay hungry! Stay hungry! Stay hungry!
Do you want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? I am tired, I will confess. What a busy weekend. Did you go to the Gravenstein Apple Fair? It was so sweet. And it's funny, I hadn't been there for a few years, and I know that there was some trouble and there were some changes in previous years recently, and this year's fair was going to be all about getting back to the real roots of the fair. It was exactly like I went the last time that I attended. And so it was just perfect. And they do something really amazing. They make the area where the fair is taking place in Regal Park seem much bigger than it is. I just you walk around and think, well, where did I just see that thing? And the next thing you know, you're passing it again. But it's not that it's random. It's just that it's this sort of maze that makes it seem really big. And I love that part of it. And had a really great turnout for my cooking demonstration. And I think for all the cooking demonstrations, it's a great crowd. Sometimes you can be at a public event, a fair or something, and you're really competing with so many other attractions that people might come and stay at a cooking demonstration for 5 minutes and then leave, and you think, oh my God, they hate me. But they're just, you know, doing a lot of different things. These cooking demonstrations at the Gravenstein Apple Fair really attract people who are interested and stay the whole time. And this time they bought books too. I usually don't sell my own book, but I had some from an event where I needed to provide them. And I thought, oh, well, I'll take some just in case. And I came home with no books. And that was really, really gratifying. Got to the Sebastopol Farmers Market early this morning. Oh my, glorious tomatoes. Fabulous peppers. Just a beautiful market this morning. So if you're not going to farmers markets, get out there. It is time to enjoy just the bounty of summer. And speaking of bounty, we're sort of talking about that, the bounty of Jewish food. It is time for the Jewish Food Festival. Again, it's coming up next weekend, August 18th, and on a return visit, at least once, probably more than once, we have with us Rabbi Stephanie Kramer and Larry Carlin, who does all kinds of things at Congregation Shomrei Torah. Welcome to Mouthful. Welcome back to Mouthful.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Michelle.
And you were there at the Gravenstein Apple Fair today, right?
I was at the Gravenstein Apple Fair with my two grandsons, and we actually caught the tail end of the presentation you were making, and you had a full house. It was fabulous. And by the way, just for the record, the Gravenstein Apple Fair, we moved up here 15 years ago, and it is our very favorite fair. We go every year, and we love it. The food, the people, the layout, as you said, there's something for everything. Great music. I know I'm supposed to be talking about our festival.
No, that's okay. But we can talk about that one too.
But it's really great, and there's such a great vibe there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could just sort of like feel it in the air. It's really cool.
Yeah. Did you see the bubble man?
I didn't see him.
He was right behind where the audience is, sort of in this open area, and he was blowing balloons, but some of them were really, really huge. But then he had this other thing. I thought, wow, that's genius, and it's easy. It looked like it was a piece of pliable plastic. I'm talking with my hands. pliable plastic with lots of different holes, and he could dip it in and then throw it up, and just hundreds of bubbles of all different sizes would come out. You know, I love bubbles, any kind.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just really fun to watch him. And the Sonoma County
wood carvers
were there again. They have always been one of my favorite concessions. A bunch of people carving all kinds of beautiful things from wood. One man had feathers, earrings, pendants, and these wood, they looked like feathers, and they were nearly as light as a feather. Just really, really fun stuff. And of course, lots and lots of absolutely delicious Gravenstein apples. I made a spicy Gravenstein and smoked cheddar chowder.
Mm.
And then also I made a really simple salad. I wanted to show an apple cider vinaigrette from my new book, and I did an apple cider vinaigrette just on tiny leaves of wild arugula. Really simple, really good. So, is this the second annual?
This is the second.
And last year, the first year was a huge success, right?
It was enormously successful. We had a goal of 1,000 people. We had 1,600 people there. And it just, everybody seemed to want to come, and did. And unfortunately, last year, and I should be very careful about saying this on the air, is we ran out of food. And you know, in a Jewish family,
that never happens.
That is a sin. That's like the biggest sin. But we did. We ran out of food. And to compensate for it this year, they're literally doubling and tripling the amount of all the foods that they have. So that should not happen again.
So it takes place from 10 to 3.
Correct.
Is that Saturday or is it? Yeah.
It's Sunday.
Sunday.
It's
That's
Sunday.
Right. Next Sunday.
Right.
Tell us some of the food. So you have food booths, different noshing booths, different drinking booths. Actually, talk about the wine first, because I see you have a bottle over there, and I know that you want to open it. So you can open and pour, and we'll start that way.
I did want to open it. I think because I didn't drink any wine at the Gravenstein Festival today, I thought, well, maybe I'd have some tonight, because I know we were going to be on the show. And this happens to be one of my favorite wines. It was a sweepstakes winner at the Harvest Fair last year.
And tell, what is it?
It's Angeline Sauvignon Blanc.
Angeline?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
And I love Sauvignon Blanc, and I love the name Angeline, so I'm looking forward to this.
We'll try this, because it's very refreshing. It's very, it's just a lovely, you're not going to try any? Okay. What do you think?
It is lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Crisp.
Very crisp. Mm-hmm. Very crisp. And it's, you know, there's always a bit of like morning sunlight that hits my palate when I have a nice Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
And I love that quality, sort of a little bit like grass that still has the cool morning dew on it, but it's starting to warm up. I'm a visual thinker. What can I say? Very nice. Thank you for bringing that. Good. So you have wines at the...
We have wine. We have beer. Lagunitas is one of your sponsors, is providing the beer. We have Pete's Coffee. But of course, the star of the whole show is the Jewish comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
And we have potato latkes with homemade applesauce and sour cream, corned beef sandwiches.
Bagels, lox, and cream cheese.
Of course, we have to do that.
Absolutely. And then we have our baked section. So you can either taste our baked goods at our Nosh booth, where you can just get a little taste of lots of different things, or you can actually come and buy whole challahs or a big package of rugula or lots of different baked goods to take home or send to family.
Or both.
Yes, or
exactly.
Both.
Or taste to figure out what you want to buy more of to take home.
What's really interesting about the, and by the way, a lot of the baked goods are made by members of our congregation, mm-hmm. you know, Jewish mothers and grandmothers, and even some of the Jewish fathers mm-hmm. Have participated in making it. But we've added about six or eight new kinds of baked goods this year over last year. The new ones are Homentaschen.
You have to explain that.
Okay, Homentaschen is like a little pastry. Kind of a...
It's a cookie. It's a cookie, sugar cookie-ish.
But filled with jam, apricot jam, filled with poppy seed, filled with prune.
You can tell them because they're always shaped in the shape of a triangle. Because they're from one of our Jewish holidays called Purim. And they're in the shape of a triangle for two reasons. Our folk tradition can't agree on one. So some say that it's the...
We're Jews. Come on.
We can't agree on anything. So either that the evil character in the story of Esther, so Haman, that his hat was shaped like a triangle or his ears were shaped like a triangle. And so because of that, you have these triangle-shaped cookies with different kinds of jams, or in Israel you can even get them with chocolate in the middle or caramel in the middle.
Oh, that would be mine.
The dulce de leche ones, they're delicious.
That's deadly stuff, deadly stuff.
It is. I can't have it in my house because it calls my name at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
So...
And we also have, again, going back to the new, we have black and white cookies, which you have. It's not one of ours, but it is.
It is a black and white.
It's an official black and white cookie.
Is it like a sugar cookie then with?
It's like actually a cake.
Oh, okay.
With half
it's
of
very
it,
pliable.
Yeah. Half of it is chocolate frosting and the other is white frosting.
Uh-huh.
And very popular in a lot of Jewish delis. So that's new. We have a cheesecake, poppy seed cookies, which are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I have tasted the maker of those, and they're really great. And baklava and gluten-free macaroons for people who have the food issues that they have to. And then in addition to that, holdover from last year, we have rugula, which...
I was going to ask about rugula.
Rabbi made, and... Do you want me to describe that? I know you know what it is.
I love them.
It's dough rolled out, and it's filled with jam and nuts, and it's like scrumptious. It's my favorite Jewish
chocolate.
Cookie. Chocolate. It is chocolate.
We sold them in a restaurant I managed a long time ago. The owner was Jewish. We had Nathan's Hot Dogs. We were the only place with Nathan's Hot Dogs. It was Jerome's Good Dogs. And somebody made rugula for us. But they were filled with, I think, butter and brown sugar. Oh. Butter, brown sugar, and nuts. So it had that caramel flavor. Oh, God. So good.
Yeah. If there are, and I know some of our congregants I know who worked on these, they've had like baking classes together, and they are like fantastic. I was hoping to get one ahead of the game to bring here, but unfortunately, no.
Well, there's a bounty of sweets sitting in front of me. Yeah. It looks like a macaroon.
That's a chocolate macaroon, which we're going to have.
These are macaroon as opposed to macaron.
That's French.
Yes, because we've had macaron on Mouthful as well. So it's a big macaroon.
It's a big macaroon.
It's a quarter pounder, I think.
Yeah.
And then we have...
The chocolate matzah or matzah toffee.
Oh, matzah toffee.
Yeah.
Wow, that's what it is.
It's matzah and it's chocolate and it's got nuts on it. It's all caramelized. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
You stay away from matzah all year round, except for during Passover, except for matzah toffee, which is good anytime.
We've got that, and then just to make sure we cover all the bases in terms of the baked goods, we have coffee cake and apple cake, chocolate torte, which is great, and regular macaroons besides the gluten free macaroons, babka from. Green's Bakery in New York City.
Babka.
Flown in. Babka, both chocolate and cinnamon. Can you describe that?
Babka cake. It's almost like a rugula in the same like rolled fashion, but it's actually a rolled cake.
Okay.
And you can see it, the swirl in it will either be like a cinnamon flavor or a chocolate flavor. So when you cut it, it really
like
makes
swirls.
These beautiful slices.
It's pretty. Is it one of those foods that... people just have an absolute passion about? Because I think I hear about it a lot.
I have to tell you, my wife...
They don't last anywhere. They're just so good, you just want to keep picking at them.
My wife's, one of her favorite baked goods is a chocolate babka. And whenever we go to L.A., we go to the Jewish center, like the Fairfax area, and there's a bakery down there. Call up and order it ahead of time, and then we bring it back and we freeze part of it. And she's happy for 6 months out of the year with that stuff. But it's really good stuff. So
looks beautiful, sliced and put on a plate, just because. Yeah.
And then the last bake thing, which is very big, and we've had baking classes in it and stuff, is challah.
Uh-huh.
Which I know you know, the bread, the braided
egg bread, right?
Egg bread for the Sabbath that we, you know, many Jewish households use for the Sabbath.
Now, why is that? What's its symbolic significance?
It's braided, whereas it doesn't look like a loaf. So it looks beautiful because on Shabbat, on our day of rest, we really care about everything looking aesthetically beautiful. The table should be set, there should be flowers, like everything should look beautiful. But there are so many folk traditions. We don't know really why the challah is traditionally braided, but it is all over the world traditionally braided. And there can either be three strands to the braid or six strands for the braid. And there are lots of different reasons for that. So one of the reasons says that there are six strands, one for each day of the week. And then they come together for the seventh day of the week, for the seventh day of creation, for wholeness and unity. Another one says that the six strands are actually the six directions of the earth and the diversity. So north, south, east, and west, up and down.
Oh, up and down is added. Cool.
And the diversity comes together and unites on Shabbat for the entire world to be unified. And then there's this beautiful one that I just recently heard that I really loved. And it's a folk tradition, and it talks about the story of creation and Eve in the Garden of Eden. As the sun was going down on the seventh day, she got very nervous. She was actually trembling. She didn't know what was happening. She was worried. And God came and took her hair and braided it, as God comforted Eve, telling her that the sun was going to go down, but it was going to come back up, and that was going to be the gift of the day of rest of our Shabbat, our holy day. So that's why the challah is braided.
That's a sweet story.
That's a great story.
That's a really good story. So there are lots of different traditions around the challah, and those are just three of them.
And then... when it's eaten, is there a ceremonial context to how it's eaten?
There is. So we actually always cover the bread before it's eaten because we do other prayers before we get to the prayer over the bread. And we don't want the challah to get embarrassed that it wasn't the most important prayer or the most important aspect of the meal. So we cover it so its feelings aren't hurt. Another folk tradition, clearly.
You made that up. I think you made that up.
No, I'm serious. It's
really?
Very well known, I promise.
Okay.
And so then we take the cover off of it, and we thank God for the grain that grows from the earth. And clearly there's a disconnect between the prayer that we do and eating the bread, because challahs don't grow on the ground. I've never walked through a field that actually had bread coming up from the ground, but it's wheat or it's barley or it's some other type of grain. And there's that disconnect is so important in Judaism, because we're thanking God for creating this grain. And yet we have to be partners in the creation to take the grain and make it into the delicious bread that we eat. So that's a big part. And we always thank God for the bread and the rest of the meal that we're going to eat before we have a bite.
That's so sweet. And on that note, I think we should take a musical break.
Jackie Wilson said, it was written to you. Kind of love you got to knock me off my
beautiful. And yes, once again, I am featuring Van Morrison as the music. Seems to be my default music on Mouthful lately. The entire klezmer and Israeli section of CDs has vanished. I could not find it anywhere. I would be playing music a little more fitting. So instead, I'm just playing music that sounds really good. We're talking about the Jewish Food Festival coming up next Sunday, August 18th, 10 to 3. You can pre-register, right?
Yes, yes.
Because last year, I mean, you were swamped, 1,600 people.
Right, right. And part of the registration is to give us a little bit of a handle on the front end, but we're not worried about it because we're going to have, as I said before, double and triple the amount. Mm-hmm. So they can go to www.srjewishfoodfest.com.
Okay. srjewishfoodfest.com, and we will repeat this at the end of the hour.
Yeah. So they
and then just follow the prompts and walk through. And you don't pay. Right. There's a fee this year.
It's
admission.
It's $5 for adults, and 12 and under are free. Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the things that's totally different from this year, in case people are listening, is that there's no parking up near the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So we've made arrangements to have parking at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. And it's free parking there and free shuttle service. We're about three blocks away
close.
From, you know where it's at, on Bennett Valley Road there. So they should not come to the synagogue, but
and
go
there will be there. Signs directing people to parking?
Yes. Actually, they enter from the Jockey Club. If you go down, you see the big signs for the
Jockey Club.
If they enter right there, and then there'll be all kinds of buses waiting, and and there'll be no wait lines for the bus.
That's a great way to do it. And then the $5 fee will cover some of your expenses. You got to pay those shuttles and stuff.
We do have to do that.
Yeah.
And when you go on to register, you can also take advantage of our online auction that's happening. There's a link on that website when you register to biddingforgood.com, and we have just a huge online auction that's happening. It was part of the Food Fest last year, and it continues to be part of the Food Fest this year since this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. And there are just really great items. There are season tickets to the San Francisco opera.
Oh, nice.
And there are vacation hotels all over the world, Paris, Belize, Antigua. So some really good things that anyone can go and take advantage of.
Nice. Want to move away a little bit from the food festival. We'll definitely come back to it and talk a little bit about Shomrei Torah and also about some of the traditions. I came to your public Seder, which was and brought my...
Were you full when you left?
Yes. Brought my grandson who, you know...
That it was a success.
He was 11 and a half. I don't want to go. You know, he doesn't want to go anywhere. Had a great time. And we were at a table with two boys. I think one boy was a year older than Lucas and one was 2 years younger.
Did they take advantage of the kids section while they were there?
Yeah, they did. But they just, they entertained each other. I watched Lucas, you know, Lucas would just look at one of the boys and then he'd make a funny face and do these weird things with his eyebrows. And he was just making them crack up and they got to be friends that way. It was really great.
We try to make everything at Shomrei Torah really kid friendly and intergenerational so that we're taking care of people all the way from the cradle to the grave, essentially, but so that there's something for everyone and that people can come together for services and holidays and everyone can feel comfortable.
One of the two things really stood out for me. And one is when you open the door and call people. Would you talk about that?
So, it's a tradition, right? That we open the door and let anyone that's hungry come and eat, which is a huge part of being Jewish. And we also open the door for Elijah, who traditionally would come and announce the coming of the Messiah and the Messianic era. So when everything in the world would be peaceful. And one. So that there are two reasons that we open the door.
It was opening the door to the people who were hungry. That I actually got choked up as that was unfolding. I thought, God, it's symbolic because there weren't actual people outside the door, but the door was open and it was, I just found it.
And you're supposed to scream out. You're not just supposed to open the door and whisper, but you're really supposed to open the door and try to make it accessible for everyone. And that's a big part of Shomrei Torah as well, is trying to have our doors always open for anyone.
I felt very comfortable there.
Yeah. It's also part of our whole social action program. Mm-hmm. We're very, very big, and I think you know because we've talked about it before, but the whole concept of Tikkun Olam, which is repair the world. Mm-hmm. So we're all year round, we're doing all kinds of interesting projects to recognize that. One of the things we do is we have Elisha's Pantry, and every Thursday we feed men, women, and children every Thursday of the year. And they come in, and needy people, they don't have to do anything. They just register or their name with us, and then we feed them.
A meal or things to take home?
Groceries.
Okay.
Groceries. All food groups. So everything mm-hmm. is covered, from... And healthy.
And even like fresh produce, which yeah. can often
That's
be
so
incredibly
great.
Expensive. Yeah. We try to get yeah. that in there.
A lot of locals drop by right out of their garden and bring it over. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, there'll be like tomatoes this time of year uh-huh. and cucumbers and stuff like that.
What a great thing.
So, yeah, it's that's one aspect of it. But we do other things.
Clothing drives.
Mm-hmm. Posada toy drive. We do a lot of work with the immigration community. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty significant things going on in the world of immigration and things that happen locally to people within Sonoma County. We're trying to ease some of the laws because there's some issues regarding racial profiling involved.
Yeah.
So again, it's all part of just like opening the door to the stranger and, recognizing people as human beings mm-hmm. everywhere.
And you also do some work. You got Imam Siddiqui, if I'm saying his name
Ali
right.
Ali Siddiqui, yes.
I'll never forget that show. It's one of the most yeah. amazing shows we've done on Mouthful. And are you still doing those monthly conversations?
We don't have them monthly okay. at this point, but we're going to continue them. But mm-hmm. we've sort of taken a hiatus for mm-hmm. a short period of time. We hope to do a picnic before the year's out.
Oh, nice.
Because that was always one of the things that we did uh-huh. for the 3-4 years that we were doing it. And we continue to stay in touch with Ali and some of the people.
So this was the Muslim community and the Jewish community.
And the Jewish community coming together
for
yeah.
discussion and that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah, that's another one of our, again, social action mm-hmm. Programs uh-huh. that we
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I thought that was a really wonderful program. And he's an extraordinary presence.
Yeah.
Really an extraordinary yeah. presence. When I was at the Seder, one of the things that I took away from the Seder, and every time I think of it, I smile, is the orange. Will you tell the story of the orange on the Seder plate?
So whether this story is actually the way that it happened or not, because it was disputed this year, I think in the New York Times or the Washington Post, it doesn't really matter because this is now the folk story
okay.
that everyone knows. And that's that years ago, a rabbi said, there'll be women rabbis, because there used to not be women rabbis, mm-hmm. only men, that there would be women rabbis when there was an orange on the Seder plate, knowing that the food items on our Seder plate are very specific and symbolic of different things, mm-hmm. and that an orange would never be part of that Seder plate. And therefore, many liberal congregations around the country and around the world now put an orange on their Seder plate to show solidarity with female rabbis. And what's so funny is that you've really made it when Crate and Barrel this year had a Seder plate that actually had a place
for the orange.
That
wow.
was that gives me chills.
Wow.
That was my favorite part of the story. So what else? There's hard boiled egg.
Haroses. Two kinds of bitter herbs.
Oh right, yes.
Shank bone, and then haroset, which is apples, cinnamon, nuts, and wine. Put together mm-hmm. to look like the mortar in mm-hmm. between the bricks that the slaves used right. in the Exodus story.
Yeah, well, I thank you for telling me that. I just, every time I think about that orange, in fact, I told a friend of mine who's Jewish, she hadn't heard the story about the orange and the Seder plate. She just cracked up. She loved it. So when did we start to have Jewish rabbis? And did something,
Female rabbis?
Female rabbis. you know, that's the big controversy in Catholicism, you know, no female priests.
Right.
And for that to happen, you would have to have some sort of big action on the part of the church. Did it take a big action in Judaism?
So for the Reform movement, it was about 40 years ago.
Okay.
And I've definitely heard firsthand from some of the first women that went through that it was harder. It was tough. There were, you know, boys clubs at the seminary and different things, and it was very difficult for them. And then the conservative movement followed about 10 years later. And in our Orthodox traditions, there still are not female rabbis.
Okay.
So.
And where did you go to? What's our seminary? Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah. So I went to the Reform Seminary in the U.S. It's called Hebrew Union College. There are four campuses. We all do our first year on the Jerusalem campus. So we actually live in Jerusalem for 12 months so that you can really experience every Jewish holiday in Israel and see the culture there. And also, it's just amazing because here we live by secular time, and there you really truly live by Jewish time, where everything closes down on Shabbat, on the Sabbath, and different holidays are really truly celebrated throughout the entire country, as well as the seasons really coincide biblically with the holidays, so you can follow them throughout the year. And then I did my next 4 years on the LA campus. The school has three campuses, LA, Cincinnati, and New York. And I was lucky enough to spend my time in LA.
Cool. And then when did you come here?
I came here over 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
With and I'm not leaving anytime
soon. With a new baby.
I came here with a baby that was just walking, and now he's a big boy, self-proclaimed big boy at 3 years old.
Micah.
Yes.
Yes. Great.
And she bought a house.
I did.
Wow.
That's roots.
Cool.
Those are roots.
So we will have you for a while.
Yes.
Cool. We're going to take another musical break, and we will be right back here on Mouthful.
Just like the sun shining over the mountaintop, you know I'll always come again. You know I love this band. Watch the sunlight dancing on your skin. I've never gone so wrong for telling lies to you. What you see is what I've been. There is nothing I can hide from you. You see me better than I ever can. Till I gain control again.
It's Mouthful. My guest this evening, Larry Carlin. And I am so tired. If I sound like an idiot, it's only exhaustion. Rabbi Stephanie Kramer of Congregation Shomrei Torah. We're talking about the food festival coming up on August 18th. And let's talk a little bit about the structure. So you can go online if you want, save yourself a little time,
right.
Register and pay get your $5 ticket. And then when you get to the festival on the shuttle bus that comes from the Jockey Club at the fairgrounds, a very short ride, then you buy like chips.
Right.
So you buy at one station and then you pay for your corned beef sandwich, for your coffee cakes, for that sort of thing. Your egg creams.
Right.
So bring cash to, because, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to want to eat.
I hope you're going to want to eat.
That's the point of the festival.
Free entertainment
right.
throughout the entire day. We have a lot of music that's going to be there. Music's very important for Jewish ritual and culture, and it's woven in through all of our services and all of our kinds of celebrations. So it's so much a part of Jewish life. We have four music groups that are lined up to perform throughout the day. So any time that you're there, you're going to get to enjoy really wonderful Jewish music.
Who are the groups?
So the first one is our brand new cantor David Frommer, and our Shomrei Torah choir, and they're going to be putting on a lot of songs. They're really wonderful. He's fabulous. There's also a klezmer four-piece band that's going to be playing, Hefrani, and Mama Lotion, that literally translates to mother tongue, plays beautiful Yiddish and Israeli melodies. And also two of our congregants who are well-known in the area musically, they play at lots of local venues, Robert and Amy Ethington are going to be singing and performing for us during the day.
There is probably the only ones that will not be doing solely Jewish and Yiddish music,
mm-hmm.
But they're great singers. I've heard them at different venues. And I love their line about the kind of music, honest songs for complex times.
I remember that from last
year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
They have really good voices, and he plays guitar.
Uh-huh.
Really, really nice.
Uh-huh. And then there's other activities too, right?
Yeah, there's a big kids area. So there's going to be a bouncy house, arts and crafts tables for children. There's also going to be food in the kids area. So when your kid doesn't want to walk away, you can still get something for them there. There's going to be face painting, just lots and lots of very kid-friendly activities so mm-hmm. that your kids can be happy as well.
Did you mention the jumpy house?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Jumpy houses are always the key to an exhausted kid by the end of any function. We're also, Rabbi George Gittleman, the senior rabbi mm-hmm. at Shomrei Torah, and myself are going to be giving tours of the facility.
Oh,
because
great.
A lot of times this is the first experience that anyone's had at a Jewish synagogue. Even Jews in Sonoma County, as well as people of other faiths. So they come there and they really want to see what our building has to offer and the symbolism and meaning behind mm-hmm. the different things in the building. So last year, we didn't give enough tours. They were really, really packed and with great questions and people who are very enthusiastic to learn and get a taste of what the temple had to offer. So we're going to be offering more tours throughout the day.
It's a beautiful synagogue.
Thank you.
When you first enter that round?
The hallway, Shalom Hall. It's called the Peace Hall, or the Hall of Peace.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the stained glass windows in it and everything.
Yeah. The view from up top is also just sort of breathtaking. I mean, we mm-hmm. have so many breathtaking views in Sonoma County, but...
I went to the Green Music Center for the first time last weekend. Speaking of incredible
views.
That's
pretty amazing.
Yeah. I need to get there.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have plenty of time. They're booked like ad infinitum with all kinds of great acts
and
everything.
It's pretty kid friendly.
Yeah.
You know, because the concert hall opens up, and then there's outside table seating, and then this huge lawn area. So it's pretty... You know, the kids who don't want to sit and listen to the music, there's a place for them to run around. And it's just, and one of the things I loved about it is right behind the stage, and they left the windows or the curtains open. They're not really curtains. They're sort of those shades that right. turn. And you just had this view of the golden hills with all the live oak. It was like looking at a painting of Sonoma County. Yeah, so really pretty. Sweet. Okay, but back to the event.
So here's a brand new thing that we've not had before, which is sort of interesting. We have a Jewish mother fortune teller.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the real deal, we're
awesome.
Told. And she will be on site to either bring out all the guilt and get rid of it, or just give you some tips on what you can do with your life and make it more meaningful. But, yeah, she's going to be there.
A Jewish mother never lacks an opinion.
That is so great.
Yes, it's part of our heritage, actually.
Yes. But something we're bringing back this year, because it was so successful last year, is the secondhand rose shop. Mm-hmm. And that's actually named after some of the shops in New York in the early 1900s. And it's just what it sounds like. It's a secondhand shop selling CDs, DVDs, quality costume jewelry, small appliances, art, home decor, sports equipment, high-end specialty clothing, and quality kids toys and games. And last year that place was just
jammed,
packed.
Yeah.
People
it's
loved
like a pop-up
it.
Thrift shop.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's right there, so you know you mm-hmm. can.
But we're making sure everything's quality. I mean, people
yeah.
we've
yeah.
been turning away
it's
some
been curated.
Stuff. Yes,
yeah.
it's has.
Definitely curated.
Now, where does all this take place? Inside and outside? All outside?
It's inside and outside. Okay. So if you want to stay out of the sun, there will be plenty of seating inside for you, uh-huh. and some entertainment going on inside as well. And if you're enjoying the outdoors, there's going to be lots of tables and booths set up all outside on our facility uh-huh. for you to walk around.
Great. Now let's talk about egg creams.
Chocolate egg creams.
And there's no egg in it, right?
Nope.
There's no egg
there's
in
no
it.
Cream.
There's no cream. There's seltzer and chocolate.
Chocolate.
Thank you. Chocolate. It's all done out of bottles. Mm-hmm. And it's very, if you grew up in any of the big, you know, Jewish communities like New York or Los Angeles, Chicago, you know, that's comes with the territory. And but it's, you know, it is what it is. I think some people, because it says chocolate, you might be thinking of it's a chocolate drink. I you know, do you like it?
I mean, I didn't grow up on them, but
I didn't grow up on it either.
It was like a childhood treat, you know, that they would save their nickels and dimes and go to the corner store to pick up an egg cream on a hot day in New York. And
yeah,
that's really the story.
Them with New York.
Right.
Yeah. And there's other flavors, right? There's all different kinds of flavors. Or is an egg cream by definition chocolate?
I think it's by definition
I think
chocolate.
So too.
Okay.
I think
didn't
so
know
too.
That.
But talking about the foods and the different things, the one of the stars of the show is really the potato latkes, the potato pancakes. And I have to tell you, I do consider myself a connoisseur. Growing up at my grandmother's knee and watching her make this.
So we want real details on this.
And I will tell you that the latke makers at Shomrei Torah for this event.
They have been practicing for a year.
They're better than my grandmother's.
Really?
Last year.
What's the secret?
They are crispy and just like fantastic.
So what's in a latke for starters?
Shredded potatoes.
Salt, pepper.
Onion,
and something to bind them.
So would it
like
be
a
egg
little,
or would it be flour?
Both, most of the time.
And flour,
yeah.
Okay.
Or matzo meal.
And not the whole egg, the egg yolk.
Oh, the egg yolk,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we have... This is interesting because I think they did not do this last year, but we have two congregation members, Mark Nickel and Ira Cohen, who are former caterers. I don't know if you know them, Michelle, and they're going to prepare and partially cook the latkes the day before and in the next morning before people arrive. One of
so
the
you're going to have like, what, 4,000 latkes or something?
Well, actually, we're going to have 700 plates of latkes this year. And there's, I think there's like three to a plate.
Oh.
But they're really good size.
They're big.
And they're bigger than normal, I think.
Right. And a nice size portion of homemade applesauce
mm-hmm.
with local apples.
Gravensteins, if they're making it right now.
Gravensteins and sour cream.
Because, you know, there's sort of a debate. People choose different toppings for their latkes.
Yeah.
So whether it's applesauce or...
Yeah. No, we got to back up a little bit because you talked about what goes in it, but then what? What is it fried in?
Oh, oil.
Because they're from
oil.
So olive oil.
Yeah.
So not butter.
Not butter at all.
Okay.
No, that's not...
Nope, oil.
That's not kosher, so to speak.
The reason why we have... potato latkes is from the holiday of Hanukkah, where we're celebrating the miracle of the oil that kept our lamp burning for 8 nights instead of one. And that's really the miracle and why we have a holiday of Hanukkah at mm-hmm. all. So the latkes, by definition, must be fried in oil. And people use different types of oil to fry their latkes in. And, you know, some people make them more health consciously than others, and sometimes they're deeper fried. But these
and they're supposed
be
to be really, really crisp.
Really, really crisp. Okay. The crisper, the better.
Okay.
So, they're amazing. And I think part of the reason they're doing the cooking this way is to cut down on the wait time.
Sure.
Last year we just had a big line. Everybody wants a latke.
Yeah.
And you could smell them from miles away.
Sure.
People were like, what smells so delicious?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So that's certainly one of the stars. And then the corned beef sandwiches that we talked about, of course, bagels and lox and cream cheese and all of that.
And where are the lox? Tell me about the lox.
The lox is coming from North Coast Fisheries. Lot of our... of our foods and suppliers are local people.
Yeah.
So like Sonoma Creamery is one of them. Sonoma Brinery for the pickles.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So
and most plates are going to be served with a pickle on the side.
Right. And coleslaw with the sandwiches and stuff. And the coleslaw is being made by the Men's Bagel Club.
And what style of coleslaw is it? Creamy?
I think
creamy
so.
Yeah.
As opposed to like vinegary or
definitely it's creamy.
Yeah, this
creamy.
Is
okay.
definitely on the creamy side. So but the bagels, by the way, are coming from the Cafe de Croissants, which makes a pretty darn good bagel. I don't know if you've had the experience with that.
They are the crust.
Very
is
very
nice.
Good.
Oh, that's good to know.
Very good.
My son loved the lox last year. This little 3-year-old who picked every bit of lox off of this huge bagel. Ate all of it.
Oh, and one of the other local purveyors is Full Circle Bakery in Pengrove is providing the bread for the corned beef sandwiches.
Oh, great. They're at a lot of farmers markets.
They're
the bread vendor at the Sebastopol Market, which is my hometown market. So I see them every week.
Yeah, I love their breads.
Yeah,
their rosemary ciabatta is...
Yeah, I get their plain ciabatta because I don't want rosemary interfering with my BLT. And it is definitely BLT season.
I definitely want to encourage anybody who's out there listening to come to the Jewish Food Festival. Even if, you know, feeling a little weary, you don't understand a lot of what we're talking about tonight. But this is a way for our congregation to introduce ourselves to Jews in Sonoma County, but also to anyone of any faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want anybody to come and just celebrate with us that day. It's going to be a fabulous day with lots of good food.
I think that the food of any faith, excuse me, the food of any faith or the food of any culture is key to getting to know that, to getting to understand that culture. It's just a great entree into that. And I know Les Blank, who sadly died a few months ago now, I think in April, guest on Mouthful several times and documented a lot of cultural food traditions. And one of the things he said on one of the shows, Mouthful's first anniversary show, actually, he was talking about how when people move or dislocated, the last thing they give up the thing they don't give up is their food traditions. And so if you want to understand another culture, I just think starting with their food is a really great way to do it. And I know I've explored Hawaiian culture so much, and I've come to, and I used to hate potlucks, and I understand potlucks now. And part of a pot, I mean, you invite Hawaiian people to dinner and tell them not to bring anything, and they show up with a dish, a favorite dish.
Right.
And that tradition goes back to the heat of Hawaii. And somebody didn't necessarily want to be cooking the entire meal because it was so hot in their homes. Mm-hmm. So they would get together and everybody would bring a dish. And then, you know, the dishes were all traditional, and you know who's bringing the lomi lomi, and you know who's bringing the lau lau. So, but it was very rooted in nature in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So I just love that. And I love exploring cultures through that.
What's interesting is one of the highlights of the Jewish Muslim group was when we would get together and there was always food, food, and everybody would bring theirs. And so we got to have a lot of the Muslim kinds of foods, some of the Mediterranean stuff, and they would have some of the Jewish food. So, and it was a really, as you point out, a great bonding, a way to bond and learn about other people.
We all get hungry, and we all have a profound sense of smell that impacts us separate from our thoughts, and I just think that's a great way to interact. If somebody's curious about Congregation Shomrei Torah,
they should call me. Okay. Just Google Congregation Shomrei Torah and pick up the phone, email myself or Rabbi George, or just call us, and we're very happy to meet with anybody or sit down and talk about anything, even if they're just curious. Absolutely. We have introductory classes that go on all of the time, but we're also happy to just go to coffee with someone and talk about Judaism or debate theology or just answer questions.
What a great thing.
So
what a great
thing. There's also on the website, shomreitorah.org, there's a plethora of information. As an example, for the social action committee that I'm part of, there's a whole social action committee page. Tells you a lot of the projects that we have, but a whole lot of other information about what the synagogue is all about.
Or if you wanted religious school for your kids or anything else. I mean, you can find a lot of our information online, but our staff is wonderful, and they're always ready and willing to pick up the phone and help people out and welcome people to the community or to our community.
That's really great. So let's sum up, because our flies by on Mouthful. It's next Sunday, 10 to 3, the Jewish Food Festival. Go online,
jewishfoodfest.com, and they can register and get their $5 ticket to get in, and children 12 and under are free, and then when they come there they can register and then get their tokens and stuff,
and they can
the
start bidding on the online auction now.
Right away,
it's open, and things are just, I mean, people are bidding left and right now.
Cool. And then parking will be at the Jockey Club at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds, and it's about a 3-minute shuttle ride from there.
Just about.
Getting in, I'll take, 45 seconds. Getting off will take 45 seconds and 90 seconds to get there.
Yeah.
So it'll be real easy, and that's a great way to do it. You don't have to sit in, a long line of parking.
We promise everybody really good food, great entertainment, and a really fun afternoon for the whole family.
It sounds like a great day. I really recommend it, and I'll be writing about it in my Friday column as well. So if you want more details, if you forgot some things, you'll find it in Mouthful on Friday morning in the PD. And on that note, we're out of time once again here on the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Have a great week, and meet me back here next Sunday on KRCB-FM.
Of this story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Let's go.